Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh,
okay.
Hi, I'm Nijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. Oh my God. Are we back? Oh, we're back. I fell asleep while trying to think about this week's episode of Drag Race. And then I realized that we needed to record an intro for this episode of our podcast.
Well, we're proud to be an American, but to talk about this American episode this week, well, there were some challenges.
Yeah, well, don't you worry. We managed to do it because we had our wonderful guest, Chris Chinasi, here, and then also Barbara Bushlight.
Yes, we are back with our two wonderful content queen guests here to talk about what the heck happened on season 13.
And you know what? It actually was a cute episode because we did get to talk about some very serious issues that are affecting our community, this world, the nation. And you know what? That's what we're here for. We're here for the realness. Yeah. We're here for the kiki. We're here to be your whispering hunties.
Because it's Drag Race recap plus everything about the world and our communities and everything like that. So yeah, we hit all those bases, baby.
100%. So we're back with more America for you. And we'll be doing Drag Race until we'll be doing the American Drag Race for at least another couple months as they
sit on that porch with your sweet tea, get your speaker going.
Oh my gosh, that sweet tea and little chitlins. anyway, so these alternate characters are everything.
Serving.
Also, trend alert, the whole story now has its own Instagram. Hello.
Oh, yes, you can follow @_thewholestory. That's whole, like, I'm just a whole sir. You can see this jobless woman's journey of growth. It's my drag alter ego. It's an Instagram account. I'm practicing. It is a slow process, but honey, we're living. I know.
And everybody, please check out Daddy Delphia, which premiered on the day that we're recording this podcast. I believe that there should be a Vimeo link available after the release. We just got accepted to the Big Sur Film Festival.
Oh my God, congrats.
Hopefully more festival circuit things to continue, but watch this.
Yes, Miss Voice Actor.
I know. I have a voice, I have a character impersonations and attitude qualities about myself. But it's there, link in bio, like, subscribe, follow, comment or on else. Everything, send us emails, and grab your snack, start your favorite activity. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a passion, maybe it's both.
Do your chores, go on a run, do whatever. Whatever you can do with your headphones in, baby.
Get in your car and listen to your whispering hunty.
Let's teach people something super quick.
Every year, more people die from getting hit on the head with coconuts than they do from shark attacks.
Like dead?
It's not that many, because like only like one or two people, I think, die from shark attacks every year. The low teens for the coconuts.
Coconuts are hard.
Teach me something good.
Now on your local favorite podcast thing.
Yeah, all podcast things.
So we're back, and you know, March has been a very strange bedfellow of anniversaries, as we all have been realizing, and it's been about a year since we've been living in this new reality. But honestly, one of the things that, besides like the marvelous Kiki that we've been getting from the podcast, that I've been, you know, so happy to experience, is to also just hear about what we've been learning from this time. So, Chris, Barbara, what, if anything, have you been learning from these COVIDian times?
I guess, you know, appreciate every day. I mean, I know that sounds cheesy, but like really appreciating like every second you get, because, you know, a lot of people, they have lost loved ones. They have, you know, we've all had to change how we do our lives. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's like before this, we kind of took things for granted. But now it's kind of made people step back and be like, you know what? I miss those days. I miss the time when I could just go do this whenever I wanted and with whoever I wanted, you know? So it kind of makes you appreciate what we had before, even if it was still kind of rocky.
Mm. For me, I would say I've learned to lean into what makes me happy and like just listen to my brain when it says, oh, you're kind of good at this thing. You should try doing this and see if you're successful at it, as opposed to trying to stay in whatever preconceived path you thought you might have had. You know, I went to school for musical theater, so I thought, oh, I need to just always be going to these auditions for Broadway shows that I'm not right for, like literally any of this. What I do, I don't think is really, like, I don't know, I guess a little appreciated in the room for musical theater auditions. And like, so with the shutdown, there are no musical theater auditions. So I say, okay, well, I take that out of the equation. And it's like everything just kind of just fell into place for me creatively, kind of. And like, I don't know, just realizing that about myself, that, you know, I could lean into what actually makes me happy, which is just making my own stuff and trying to like fit into a track of a show that's been running for 15 years just because I went to school for it. Like, that. So,
oh my God, lean into what makes you happy. Thank you. Damn.
That's beautiful.
Lean into that. And I think it's so important to think about these things because, you know, we're all live performers here. You know, you have your live comedy show. You know, Barbara has been performing at a bar that is no longer having live performances. We'll see what happens over the next couple of months as vaccine comes.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've all been largely affected. And Nick obviously has been doing comedy live shows for a minute and used to work in theaters, literally theaters.
Yep. Lost everything a year ago. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel you so much when you talk about that, the musical theater world, because, you know, as a person of color in musical theater, it's a very touch and go situation. It's like, do I fit into all the traditional Black roles and do I just go for those? Or with the colorblind casting wah, wah, wah thing that they, and I don't mean wah, wah, wah as they shouldn't be doing it. I'm like, as theaters now say, oh, we're doing colorblind casting. And I'm like, oh, sure you are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Joseph
like, we'll see if they really are.
Joseph and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat will be a blonde, like, you know, dirty blonde with blue eyes.
Yeah.
Until they cancel the show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But diverse because he's like a little taller than how they usually cast it. So that's diverse.
I mean, literally, I mean, when I did Joseph, I was the Black character. You know what I mean? And there was like only one.
Right.
It was like the ethnic role, right. You know? So I think it's so important to realize that we are not limited to the things that we thought we were. We can be multi-hyphenates and we can diversify and continue to perform. And COVID is a pause, but it's also an opportunity.
I love that. Yeah.
I also kind of want to like touch on that really quick. I know we're going to get into US Drag Race in a minute.
I know, 100%.
Go ahead. So I think this kind of conversation about like the colorblind casting, all that kind of in a way ties into what Lonnie Love said last night about Simone and Utica with, you know, we have to, like, with certain things, like, there is more than just the skin, what we see on the surface, you know, it's like about embodying the character. So it's like, you know, if anybody wanted to try out for Joseph that wasn't a blonde hair, blue eyed, but they could embody the character, then, you know what I mean? Like there's so much more that can be said than what you see on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're more. I'm going to lean in.
Good.
I don't care if everyone's trying to cancel Sheryl Sandberg.
I just want to play Effie at one point.
Not Effie.
All right.
No. I'm kidding.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break and then come back to talk about.
What is it that Noxzema Jackson said in Tu Wong Fu? Literally, what is it she said in there? She's like, well, all right, Jennifer Holliday, don't forget to write.
We will be right back, and then we will talk about white people dressing, like, basically stealing everything from Black people and how much it works for them.
What?
So we're back, and let's talk about this U.S. Drag Race, because...
You know, it's tight.
This was another episode that I'm telling you, I would have passed out if I hadn't had to watch it for this podcast. And if my wine glass had not been, you know, still slightly full, because I had to stay up to finish it. But I, you know, also had to do this podcast. Nick.
Mm.
Or Gloria.
Oh?
If you're nasty. Can we get a whole story report?
Oh, I think we can. Last time on season 13, Elliot was eliminated for the 19th time, and we get Utica for at least another week. Tina has a bad self-haircut moment, and Denali gets a good read by comparing it to Olivia's lace. Instead of a mini-challenge, we have a featurette with internationally famous con woman Char Margolis. Not to poop in your Pop-Tart, but there's no such thing as mediums, but some people believe in it. Fortunately, it's harmless as long as you treat it as the entertainment it is. The makeover challenge is one of, if not my number one favorite challenge, and the pandemic has delivered a fun new version for us with paired-up queens making over each other in the style of the other. I love Rosé's commentary of not wanting to leave the competition in Tina's clothes and makeup. I smell the smoke from that burn. And Tina's pretty bold to not like the color pink when she only wears three colors. I thought she hated every color except for red, orange, and yellow. Why does Utica whisper all the time now? And she's falling on the hyper-cautious side of woke once again when she'd be better off taking the advice of the queens of color right in front of her rather than scaring herself into making confusing decisions. But hey, it's a necessary conversation and I'm glad we're having it. The runway walk teaching scenes made this one of the best episodes of the season, in my opinion. The spirit of it was perfect Drag Race, and it was something we haven't seen yet, thank goodness. RuPaul's red sexy sequin dress is everything. And on the runway, Rosé looked better as Tina than Tina. Sorry for the harsh truth. Tina did an incredible impersonation of Rosé and I think nailed the movements and looked fantastic. Denali and Olivia serve polished safety, I guess, and a little bit of just comfort where they are. Simone is a little hidden, but the creativity of Utica's side is coming through, and Utica looks incredible. Gottmik and Candy did a really solid job considering the challenge, so this will be tough. And then the dreaded question comes. It goes how it goes. Which queen do you want to see go home? And Candy panics, which becomes very expressive, but she's speaking up for herself. And it is what it is, but most of them said Olivia. Utica and Simone won, well done, and it's a shock that we're here, but it's Olivia versus Denali. They serve it for the Lord, and Olivia is saved. In spite of doing worse empirically and based on the other queen's judgments, she falls prostrate on the ground, and Denali is sent off. Goodbye, you sexy angel. Bring a winter coat back to Alaska. We're down to seven queens, and that's the whole story.
That was everything. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Of course.
This is the episode I'm actually really excited to talk about. Not that, because it was still boring, but there's stuff I'm sure we've all got our opinions on everything.
Yeah.
So this is going to be real fun.
All right. So I'm going to only say it was boring once. It was boring. Okay. Now, can someone please, like, let's do a review. How many times did Elliot lip sync for her life?
Yeah. Okay. First. So last time it was when she sent LaLarry home, right?
Yes.
Okay. and
Wait, who?
Oh, Lala Ree, sorry.
We have nicknames.
We have Bippity Boppity Boop, Larry. Yeah, yeah. Like just they're all nicknames. Yeah.
She sent Lala Ree home.
Yeah.
When that happened. And then
she just got sent home.
Yeah.
Then she lost the lip sync at the very beginning.
Right. And the Pork Chop crew voted her out.
Yeah. Oh, that's what the fourth time was. I was like, she lip synced four times because everyone was like doing the math and they were squinting. And I was like, I only remember three.
Yeah.
But I guess, so she was technically the Pork Chop queen.
But in this one, you could tell she just like didn't care. I think she kind of just was out of it.
Yeah.
I think she was just like, whatever, I'm leaving. I'm going to go. Because she didn't even like, she didn't turn it the way she did with Lala Ree.
It was song choice. I don't know. They're giving them some like weird things. I mean, if you give them 100% love, you're going to get 100% good love.
Yeah.
You know, if you give them whatever that was, you'll get whatever that was.
Yeah.
You know? Who is Char Margolis? Does anyone know?
Yeah, internationally famous, but I don't know who the hell she is.
Also, can we break down like some of the real intuitive psychic prowess of her? So did anyone here live by a lake? Where's there a truck by the lake? Wow.
Did one of these gay men up here have trouble with a dad who had a hard time supporting them sometimes?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow, you read me so clearly. Like what? Like
okay. Is your dad dead? Your dad's dead. Okay, your dad's dead. Yeah, he said sorry.
I knew that. Yeah.
Also,
she was a Snatch Game character.
Also, did anyone have a cow? Okay, a
that
cow.
Was so
great.
Stupid.
So dumb.
Wait, did the cow happen to have a name with the letter C? I mean, like that just feels like very like rudimentary. Like most cows would probably have a C.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. When you all met, did somebody have a different impression of someone then than they do now?
After like you bonded?
Everyone. Yeah.
That's so generic. That could be anybody.
Yeah.
Is there sexual tension with most people? And then
yes.
Literally. Is there sexual tension? I mean, they're literally quarantined into a hotel. Of course there's gonna be sexual tension.
Right.
I mean, I think she's very intuitive because she's like, oh, you're both reasonably attractive. Are you attracted to one another? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
God, but also, that was hilarious for all the wrong reasons.
I know, but I was so glad to have Denali admit that she was like, I think Rosé's sexy.
Oh, yeah.
And Rosé's like, yeah, I think Denali's sexy. And I was like, yeah, so maybe you should stop like intensely whispering to her on the side and tell her like, I hope you make it out of this lip sync, girl. You know, like I'm so close to you in this competition. I was like, Rosé, don't you have a boyfriend? Like you should be
Rosé like, has boyfriends at home throwing her out of the window as that's going down.
Like,
yeah.
Are they blast.
Are they trying to make it seem like, are they? You know how Brooklyn and Vanjie had their thing and like they were trying to use that for the show? Mm-hmm. Are they this season trying to use that to their advantage?
Kind of like I was positive that they were going to have Rosé and Denali lip sync against each other at some point because of this whole like friendship connection. We've been witnessing.
Yeah.
And I was like sure that was gonna happen, but it didn't happen. So
well, whatever. Psychic intuitive medium, maybe you'll sense this.
Ew.
Can someone please explain blackface, whiteface for white people? Because I can't do it. I thought I did it last week or whatever the week before when Utica felt upset about it.
She didn't want to wear an afro yet.
Yeah. So children, grown-ups, if you're listening, can someone please explain like the difference between cultural appropriation and doing things that are racial without being racist or racially offensive?
Well, that's the thing, is that like Utica, it feels like Utica maybe doesn't know that many people or doesn't have that many people in her life who are possibly people of color who are able to kind of impart this knowledge, because she has said herself that she's in a more rural area, mm-hmm. and there isn't a ton of like big drag family around her. So maybe those aren't things that she's learned yet. So she's erring on the side of being overly cautious, mm-hmm. but that's missing the point, I think. And you have RuPaul and Simone telling her right there, like, no, girl, like, it's okay. And Lonnie even told her later on that, like, you're capturing what's inside. Don't worry about, like, taking it in a direction and, like, taking from it. Because, like, we're seeing you develop this idea, like chill. You
just kinda, I mean,
yeah, you're like, we're seeing it all unfold. We're seeing mm-hmm. how they're all working collaboratively and, like, there's a very open dialogue about it and a very honest discussion about it. So like the viewers are seeing it all. So I don't know why. I mean, I guess I can see why she's being cautious, but like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, it's way too much, you know?
You know it is? It's misdirected, like well-intentioned behavior.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's exactly. Like, yes, Black Lives Matter. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, we all want to be a little bit woker than we were before, so much so that woke is kind of like doesn't even mean what it first meant, like
blah, yeah blah.
You know, now if you say woke, people are gonna be like, oh no, you're not woke,
you know? It's like almost ironic now,
yeah,
because people
yeah.
make fun of wokeness because yeah. of what Utica's doing.
Yeah, like if yeah. you think you're woke, now you're Karen.
I just remember, so like Utica's an interesting topic with this, because like there's, so I don't know if you guys have followed her on social media for a while. I followed her for a while before she got on Drag Race. Ooh. And I remember back when like the riots in Minneapolis were like at a head,
yeah,
she was silent.
Oh like, god.
And this is not me trying to like cancel her or whatever, because she didn't say anything against it. But she also just didn't say anything at all. And like, you know, at that
yeah,
point,
I like that.
At that point, and I'm not saying everybody has to be like an activist mm-hmm. or everyone has to shout at the top. Cause at that point people are talking over, like every leader, every group of leaders mm-hmm. needs loyal followers. So yeah. I feel like at that point, like there's a way that she could have at least just said like, you know, hey, like this is happening. Might I add in my city, mm. You know, this is what's happening, like even just keeping people updated, like this is what's going on, you know, this is what I just saw, or this is what, you know, people in my city have told me. And I just feel like, I mean, she did change her profile picture on Facebook to a blank black screen.
Oh right.
Like everyone else did it. Yeah. So that she did, but that was like easy. Anybody could have done that, you know what yeah. I mean? Like I just feel mm-hmm. like she never once really said anything mm-hmm. about it, good or bad. And then like it was like a day or two later or something that she was posting like a photo shoot she did, and it's just kind of like
right.
not that she should be like canceled or whatever.
A lot of people only did the black square and nothing else though, and like that was the bad move,
and that is called performative activism.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you want to know do you know the funniest thing about the black square?
What?
That was a mistake.
Sorry. That's 100% a mistake.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like people in the entertainment industry, yeah. like basically stopping what they were doing to then focus on something else. And somehow the invitation to the entertainment industry got misread as like a blackout, literal blackout. And so yeah. people started posting black squares. So the people that actually launched that social movement were like, whoops, what the hell is going on? Everyone's posting black squares. This is not what we intended. Now we can't see anything on Instagram because we thought we were gonna like sit, yeah. we thought we were gonna take a break and talk about some real issues. And instead, literally you can't see everything because everything went black. And
it essentially became like a meme.
Yeah. And I'll be honest,
humor,
I did that too. Yeah. But I learned about it after yeah. and I was like, oh right. shoot.
I edited yeah. the caption to say like, hey, remember, this is the bare minimum and yeah.
Right. No, mm-hmm. I mean, I literally was like, I actually don't know why I'm posting this black square. So I'm mm-hmm. gonna take it down. But like I started doing because I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And then I was like, wait a minute, there are a lot of other things I can do. Like
yeah.
You know, like be a black person. talk about these issues. Yeah.
When all of that was you know, with George Floyd and the riots were all coming to like a head, like I feel like a lot of people just maybe didn't know or understand like what they actually could say or do, because you know, mm-hmm. people, it was a very sensitive situation, yeah. and you know, people were doing what they thought they could do, and mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people just didn't either do anything or they did way too much and they spoke yeah. over mm-hmm. Like what I've been told, you know, because I made sure that I reached out to some close friends and was like, you know, what can I do? And mm-hmm. they were like, you know, don't share things and put your perspective on it. Just share stories, share the yeah. situation, things that are going on, and just do that. And to help let people know what's going on. Like, don't give your two cents on it, which mm-hmm. I think is very valid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people weren't even doing that.
And that's some of the best advice. Like, I think it was like, call your Black friend, check on them. You know,
yeah.
if they don't want to talk mm-hmm. about it, they don't want to talk about it. But like, at least like connect with someone real that you know.
I also heard that some people were saying like, don't do that.
No, I mean, some people don't want
your Black friends.
No, some people don't want to do that. But honestly, yeah. like if you can't have honest conversations with your white friends about race.
Oh, yeah.
Are you really friends with them? You know
right.
what I mean? Because
totally.
You are their Black friend. And yeah. it's like, don't have it to them being like, hey, educate me, do the work, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But you can just say, hey, just want to make sure you're doing okay. Aww. And like, if they want to talk to you about it, they will. But if they don't, they won't. So it's like, you know,
yeah. right.
two ways to skin
the cat. At
that point,
you don't even really have to like bring up what's going on. Like, you can literally just keep it vague and just be like,
yeah.
hey, like, you know, haven't talked to you in a minute. Like, how are you doing? You yeah. know, is there anything I
just,
can do to help mm-hmm. you?
Be their friend.
I think in that situation, they would kind of get the hint of where you're going with it. So they mm-hmm. could kind of decide how they want to take their side of the discussion.
Yeah.
You're opening that door to have that discussion and like, mm-hmm. you know, check on them, and you're letting them kind of take control and take it in whatever direction they mm-hmm. feel most comfortable in.
Yeah. So back to Utica's yes. awkward behavior. Clearly, yeah. I didn't factor in that like Utica's experience being in Minneapolis, which also is not an excuse, because like there are Black people in Minneapolis. Like, you have to, you know, I'm a little weirded out by it. But I do think that yeah. the cultural sensitivity to it does point to some of her resistance. But the thing that I wanted to say is that there's nothing wrong with dressing up as the essence of. It's when you try to then, on top of that, step outside of what you are mm-hmm. and then pretend like you're something else, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like when you put on darker foundation because you are being a Black character, or when you try to sound Blacker than reasonably sounds on your person, you know,
yeah.
that's when it yeah. gets into that lane. But if the challenge is to do the essence of Simone is a very Black drag queen. So all these shenanigans about, I'm afraid of offending someone, I was like, you should be afraid of offending Simone.
Right.
With your performance. Because if you're not, then all the Black people are going to come for you.
Yeah. What if she had worn the Say Their Names dress?
I mean, yeah. Like, obviously you can't do that.
Yeah.
But... No, but the thing about it was, it's like, if she was to like tell Simone, like, no, I'm not going to do the BAPS thing because I don't want to culturally appropriate, then you're forcing Simone to be white for you.
Right. Exactly. Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was like,
and it had to be about more than that. And like, that's why they won, thank goodness, because
yeah,
they captured it the way that I think they should have. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And it showed, you know,
yeah,
they were
and 100%.
And Utica's fears were like assuaged because they nailed it.
But like yeah. a little Black attitude on Utica was like what Utica's been missing this whole damn competition.
She was a real model, baby. And she said herself, she was like, I've never felt more powerful than when on the runway than yeah. when I was emulating this powerful, beautiful Simone.
Strong Black woman.
And that made me feel so good. Yeah, and yeah. I was like, see, you didn't have to do blackface. You didn't have to appropriate a single thing to channel that power and everything yeah. that you could feel from that. Yeah, yeah. It was nice. Absolutely.
But this is what I mean when I say like white people steal everything, because it's like R&B was like a Black yeah. music, which is basically all of pop music. All of pop music is like low-key, like R&B inspired.
Oh, nowadays,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So. And so it's like, it looks good on everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe people just need to just, you know, that. Just
all to hip hop's credit.
Say,
yeah.
Just say thank you. You know what I mean? And like, be better, you know? Yes. So like, I would love to see this version of Utica more. And not to say that she shouldn't be herself, but just to have a little bit more confidence, you know, do the tongue in cheek, but with a little bit of like awareness that you are, you know, formidable, you know, there was power, you know? And so, anyway, so anyway, but
and she
thank
went
you,
from
black people.
To winning. Yeah,
thank you, black people. Thank you, Simone. Yes. You know, please exactly. make the world a blacker place. Yeah.
I love that. Absolutely.
Was anyone afraid that Candy was going to be cut from the show when she started talking about how she had her self-love journey?
Oh, I know what you mean. Okay, I was like, wait, what do you mean? But I got it.
I don't think so.
It didn't, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Candy's like, and I say this with all love and all respect, because I live for Candy. She's like a cockroach. You can't kill the like she's, you know
she
what I mean?
She is sticking like, around, yeah.
Literally. But the thing is, though, is like, yeah, is she a little rough around the edges? Sure. Are her looks unpolished? Sure. Is her performance in the challenges sometimes a little underwhelming? Sure. But you know what? I don't care what anybody says. She has so much personality and star power inside her that this is going to unlock for her.
She's magnetic.
She doesn't even know how fantastic. Yeah. She says she's fantastic, but she don't even know how fantastic she truly is yet.
Yeah, she's totally magnetic. I think, people are really drawn to her energy. I mean, the show is drawn to her energy. She got a double Shantae. She's sticking around.
Co-producing credit on this show. If they win an Emmy, Candy should be just give it to her. You know what I mean?
From the minute she pressed play on her boombox in that first lip sync, I was sold. Like, take my money.
I remember that. That was like one of the strongest first impressions I can remember.
And then she turned it off.
Like, it's times like that where it's like you are like in times where she maybe struggles and you see her struggle and not do as well as you know she could. Yeah. It's moments like that you remember and you're like, now she's that. She is.
Yeah. She deserves to be here. I'm sorry, but like literally, like she made the episode because I was like kind of sleeping until then. So during this who should go home moment, dear Lord, it happens every season.
I live for it.
Okay, so basically, no one likes Olivia.
Makes me so
Olivia's
mad
at Utica.
Yeah, not today. Yeah.
Denalia went after Candy, and Candy went away. What did you think? I mean, it was it fair? Like, I mean, because they all apologized about it during Untucked, but I feel like it was really pointing to some other things.
I feel like in the context of this episode, if they were going based on this episode, they were right in choosing Olivia. Mm-hmm. But I think if they were going overall, Olivia is the only one who was honest, I feel like. You know, like her choosing Utica, like, Utica of all of them, like, she's been the least, like, exciting. You know, like, her drag is interesting, but she hasn't been selling it in a way that I want to buy it.
Yeah, and she doesn't really adjust with notes. Like,
right.
She doesn't take them in and change what she's doing, like, at all.
Yeah. Every time a queen says, I'm just doing me, they go home the next episode.
I know.
Yeah.
So, like... Mm.
It's like she went in with a set vision of what she was going to do on this show and nothing was going to change it. She's going to give Utica pure Utica. And it's like, you can take constructive criticism and critique and use it. I mean, there a lot of people go on this show to grow and like they evolve and they become much, much, even way better than they ever thought they could be on this show. And I just
like,
don't really see
gets
Utica
good at makeup
grow.
After the show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's to evolve.
Or just be like Bianca and pretend to grow on the show and then just be a superstar.
Because she's playing like three-dimensional chess with that.
Yeah.
You know? It look like,
Also like Bob, you know, just like pretend like you're actually struggling and then just go and rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
But Honestly,
she wasn't pretending to struggle though in that Wizard of Oz challenge. That was real struggle.
That was real, yeah.
Struggle.
Okay, but no, but honestly, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about Olivia's comment, because when she picked out Utica, I felt like it was like revenge for all of the shenanigans that have been happening between the two of them. Like first, Olivia had a crush on her and she wanted to go on a date.
Right.
And then like Utica had that comment that she throws her under the bus. I mean, she could have picked Tina. Tina's makeup was terrible on Rosé. Yeah. And the look wasn't quintessential Tina. She's been wearing orange, yellow, and red for like the whole season. And then she comes out in like a green and yellow dress. Like that's not.
It dwarfed Rosé in a way that was like, yeah, this size and this exaggeration works on, you know, football player Tina.
Mm-hmm.
But on like average sized Rosé, it's like too big, too much. And the makeup like looked wet. And it always looks wet on Tina too. So
because
I
she
like,
uses shimmer everything. Shimmer bronzer, shimmer blush, shimmer highlight, shimmer glitter. I mean,
right.
Glitter
and
lips,
I use shimmer like on everything because I don't have any makeup. So that's my excuse. Yeah.
That's I love the makeup details, because you're right. When you say it now, I'm like, yeah, her eyebrows are always shiny. And
like wet.
Yeah. Looking. Well, and like this is no shade to Rosé. I would never sit there and poke fun at anyone's skin. But Rosé has a lot of texture with her facial hair and whatnot. Yeah. So all that shimmer under those HD lights.
Yeah.
Like the cameramen were shady for doing that close up of her in the mirror.
And the other queens say it when they're getting ready that like Rosé has like a very interesting canvas to work with, because she has very intense features.
Yeah.
Even for a boy. So it's a lot to have to do.
She does a good job of it. She's learned her face.
Incredibly handsome. So beautiful, gorgeous. But like, you know, very exaggerated features.
She's
that
a
are, like,
pretty
intense.
Boy, manly face.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Caterpillar brows. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but again, this also was anticlimactic until Candy stepped onto the stage to give us what we came for. This was a housewives quality rant. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Yep.
She's like, and she looked amazing, because I knew Gottmik was going to make her look incredible. Gottmik is an incredible makeup artist. And then, she gives us this monologue. She gives us this monologue that is everything.
I mean,
and you know what? A lot of times when people do that, when they go on rants on the runway like that, it's out of desperation. Candy had no reason to be desperate. She was in the top and she was still like, you still ain't.
She didn't have to be defensive. She just got mad. She just got mad that somebody said her name.
But was she wrong in that what she said? Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. She was 100% right.
Oh my god, but it was so funny, because in Untucked, like, Denali was in tears apologizing to Candy.
She was not about to be Tamisha.
And Candy literally was like, "Thank you. I got mad."
Well, Denali was probably about to piss herself. She was terrified. Oh god. She's like, "When we get backstage, Candy's literally gonna behead me." Like,
yeah, because saying the same thing, Tamisha says, "I said what I said." Literally. And Denali says, "I said what I said, and I'm so sorry."
Well, I think the funniest thing about this whole thing is it's like, Candy rules the world. These girls are scared of her, and they're friends with her, but they're also scared of her. Yes. And I'm sorry, like, she's winning the people's race. And she may not be Miss Congeniality, but there needs to be some other prize.
She's like a different kind of Valentina, but it's very much the Valentina effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
I would love to see her Miss Congeniality. Could you imagine?
Wouldn't that be insane if the rest of the queens were like, it's Candy, just because they're scared of not giving her Miss Congeniality?
She's like, y'all didn't vote for me? Okay, I know where you park.
You're not congenial at all. Yeah.
I don't think we have one yet. Do you know what I mean? Because it's it's not Rosé. When Rosé's not like warm and cuddly that.
Oh,
Utica's awkward.
Olivia. Yeah, I was gonna say Olivia.
She says little shady comments. Yeah.
She's not sweet. You know,
but
she
I feel
sells
like generally
sweetness,
the girls
but she's not
love
sweet.
Olivia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they all said her name
They all know she's a diva though, too. Like how they all call her a secret diva or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If they all really loved Olivia, no one would have voted for her. That
yeah,
is,
they wouldn't have said
I don't
her
care.
Name.
I don't care how she did during the challenge. It was just like a, it was like, they were like, oh my God, this girl has yeah. like two or three wins. Like, and she is finally in the bottom. Send her home. I saw yeah. that right on the wall.
But it's also really hard because the season is so long that it's taking the audience a long time to identify a Miss Congeniality. Because for us, it's taking... It's already been 2 months that we've been
oh
watching
my God.
The show.
It's wow. Tamisha. So,
oh, it's Tamisha. Oh, it's Tamisha. Yeah, it's got to be Tamisha.
To get to this point, we need to insert that clip. We need to insert that clip of Rose from Titanic when she's like, it's been 84 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to get to this point.
One yeah. thing I appreciated in this Untucked, mm-hmm. I loved how, I think it was Olivia who first said it, where she's like, well, this was really hard, but I wasn't going to say my own name. And I hate it on other seasons when they say their own name. Do mm-hmm. not say yeah. your own name. Yeah. Don't do it. And these queens, they're all smart. They're all mm-hmm. smart. I'll give them yeah. that. Because I don't mind how Denali, you know, she said Candy. And she said, because she knew Candy could take it, because Candy's strong. Like, mm-hmm. it's all just... It's all like smart to me. I don't know. I'm just happy that none of them said their own names because they knew that, like, Denali knew she was in the bottom. She's not mm-hmm. stupid. Yeah. She's not yeah. going to say, oh, I had one of the weakest looks. No, you're on a show to win $100,000. Like, yeah. That was always my biggest pet peeve in the past when people would say their own name. Like, no, you're signing your own death, whatever, death certificate. Yeah. Like, bye.
Tell us how you really yeah. feel.
I hate that too, because it's like watching them give up, and it's like you don't want to watch a show where somebody's just giving up.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, look, everyone knows that Denali and Olivia are very good competitors, and Olivia, mm-hmm. without missing a beat, just made something up and tried to sell it, and so did Denali. The only thing is, I feel like Denali got caught, and Olivia was like, no, 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 I was protecting myself. Thank yeah. you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but looking at the eight of them, I was like, damn, I guess, yeah, one of them does have to go. And I really didn't think it was going to be Denali yet. I guess I thought she'd go further.
It's because she's an all-star. I mean, yeah, I'm telling
she's
you,
an all-star.
They're trying to like get a whole new all-star cast together because they're sending some great queens home. And I just feel yeah. like they're like, well, we got to call you back next year. So thank you. If you want to leave your costumes, right. you know, because yeah. of COVID,
like, we don't prepare. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we really yeah, like right. this. So don't wear the no, don't wear that yet. Don't wear
schedule
that.
Schedule your filler appointment now.
Yeah, yeah.
right.
Like, we need you to bring back costumes number 10, 3, and 6. And then, actually, you can use this. You can use, yeah. like, half of this one, but, like, don't use the wig. Because
just
we
casting
really like
them on
wig.
The way out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it. Right. I don't want to be greedy because we have a million seasons going on, but I'm ready for that All-Star 6 announcement.
Oh, well, I'm already done with this season. Can we just... I don't even know who they're going to crown, though, so we'll see. We're on episode number 500 bajillion thousand of episode 13.
Just about.
And we don't know when it's going to end. But at this point, if you could pick a person, who would it be?
It's so hard because this entire cast who's left, they all have so many good qualities. Like, this is a really strong cast. Even with Kamora going home first, she's yeah. still a strong freaking queen. So it's yeah. like, mm-hmm. and then you've got Tamisha, who's been doing drag since she won, you know, Miss Last Supper Continental, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, that was shady. Sorry, I didn't come off. I don't know if the joke landed in my mind.
Oh, okay. Funny. Sorry.
Well, I didn't get it, but...
Saying she was doing drag at the Last Supper. yeah, see, that's just it. In my mind, it was fun. I have a very dry sense of humor. Like, I'm
no,
my,
you have
very
you have a shady you have a shady sense of humor. We love it.
I love it.
But
love
we
it.
Do we do need a name. So we're like, this is not RuPaul's Best Friend Race. They're right. all lovely, but we need to pick a winner.
Personally, who I would want to see win. Simone.
Yeah, cute.
Hands down, Simone. Mm-hmm.
Simone's been my, I think she'll win person, but today I'm going to say Gottmik.
That as well.
Yeah, yeah. I really want Simone to win, but I can totally see Gottmik winning and kind of like a Violet Tchotchke kind of track where like, I didn't think Violet was going to win when she won, but
Gottmik would deserve the win.
Yeah, Gottmik would totally deserve it. That's the difference. Yeah, that is true. Gottmik would totally deserve it.
Based on that first lip sync moment, we were all really worried for Gottmik, but she's really been bringing it. And
not the producers making Gottmik and Utica lip sync to Rumors. I was so pissed.
I know that is a main episode lip sync. I
literally
and we got it in the six lip sync episode.
But
yeah.
We're still trapped in this moment where like all the best songs were used in that first episode. And like literally everything else is like cheap as hell. Okay. So I also think that I would love Simone to win, but I'm not getting superstar energy from her anymore. And not because she's not a superstar. It's because she doesn't believe in herself very much like Lawrence Chaney. And so if that is the case, if that is the case, maybe she needs to go on a Shea Coulee journey. And then come back better than ever and more her whole self. But right now, I think it's time. I think that Gottmik is giving us what we need. I think it's time. I think I love that RuPaul's Drag Race has actually become one of the greatest representations of celebrating like drag, the queer community.
Yeah.
And then also like Black people in general. Aww. There's so many queens of color, not just Black people, but also queens of color. They've been reigning, and it's great. And I just think that, okay, so we just had Jada, Shay, Priyanka, all queens of color, and then also Envy Peru, Latina, in, you know, minority in the Netherlands. And I feel like, you know what? It's okay if we have, like, not a person of color, but a little bit of diversity that needs to be lifted up.
Still. And a groundbreaking win.
Yeah, totally. And not every winner is going to be groundbreaking. I still think Simone would still be groundbreaking because of the way that she's serving it. But I do think that RuPaul's Drag Race needs to right that wrong, because they've been wrong for a while and there's no time like the present for change.
Yeah, but also not just because it would be, you know, the first trans man on who's competing to then win. Oh, that's amazing. But like, period, Gottmik is just serving it as a winner.
She's winning. She's winning.
You know,
winning without causing all the drama, just resting on talent, serving us looks, like
looking stunning every single time, consistently stunning every single time
with great commentary. Great commentary. I could see Gottmik like doing stuff, you know what I mean?
I will say this. I do want to counter one thing that you did say. So, or not counter, but just give like a different perspective. So something you had said, you said that Drag Race has become like one of the best like representations of like queer culture and drag.
That was bold.
Yeah. But yeah, it very much was. Because I do feel like while they are making changes, I do feel like it has been at such a slow pace that it's almost like slower paced than the last episode of UK, and that was terrible.
No, but I mean, like, it's behind the community for sure.
Yeah, but like, it also doesn't really do a good job of capturing what the essence of drag is in like local areas as well. Like, there's you know, when you see these queens on Drag Race, you know, a lot of what you see, I mean, they've been getting better about, you know, getting, you know, people from different minority groups in and like really, really mixing up the pot
and geography.
Yeah. But I do feel like, you know, the loud big girls still get the bad edit. The loud big girls of color, definitely Candy, get the bad edit.
Yeah.
But it's literally, and the, you know, and like comments are like, I don't know if you guys have followed like the Elliot scandals that have been happening with like the things that she said and done.
Right.
You know, part of the reason why Candy was so vocal with Elliot about like being aware, it wasn't about Elliot's drag. It was about Elliot as a person and the things that she would say and do.
Yeah.
But they didn't show that.
I know, which is like,
you know? So it's kind of like,
no,
it's kind of like they are getting better at bringing representation, but I do feel like there's still stifling or changing the voices of the people that have up to this point still not really had as big of a platform. You know, the queens of color, the big girls, you know, anyone who's not, you know, doing a top 40 in a leotard with a big wig and thigh-high boots on stage. You know what I mean? Not that that's bad, but I'm saying like that's, I feel like that's the main representation. And that's what a lot of the fan base gravitates towards because that's what the producers push. But that's only one small portion of what's really out there. And 100%. that kind of character is honestly one of the later installations to the drag community. You know, all the pageant girls, the club kids, the, you know, the underground, grungy, you know, dark side of the drag community. That is what really, I feel like, built the community and, you know, is the true meat and potatoes of what drag is. But yet, with reality television, they want to gravitate towards a younger audience.
Yeah, who they have the formula.
Beyonce, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, they stick to their formula very much. And like, change does happen slow because they're churning out a product that is like, okay, it's a mini challenge, then a maxi challenge. I know, you know, and we edit it this way and it's, you know, it's this package deal.
Okay, so edit to my statement. Drag Race, when it's successful, sometimes does that well. And it's not always successful at it. And so I want to, I would love for the show to keep trying to get it right.
Absolutely. When they're wrong, they're wrong. But when they're right, they are so right.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. And thank you for, you know, I mean, honestly, like you're so right. And when you're right,
I think I just see it from a different perspective, like being in the community and like being in these venues and in the dressing rooms and whatnot, like seeing the whole other side of it, like what we see on TV, that's not real life. You know what I mean? Like it is for some, but
And the fan base though, the fan base is interpreting it as real life. And then they bring it into real life on Twitter telling Lawrence Chaney to go kill herself.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
That's when it's like, honey, get a grip.
Honestly, I wasn't trying to say that they get it right all the time. I was just trying to say that, like, in the moments when they get it so right, they can do that. So what, can they please shine that light somewhere else?
I know what you meant. I just, the reason why I said that was because I didn't want someone listening to this only get that perspective, because you are right. But I also just wanted to kind of give a different perspective that, you know, is kind of more on the, like, that was the opposite of what you had to say. So there's there's two sides to it. I believe there's two sides to everything. So I feel like, that I totally know where you were coming from. So
we give you the full 360 experience here.
Yeah. Oh, we don't do a bad edit. We don't do a bad edit here.
Yeah.
Shackles. You have one word to describe it. Go. One word. No explanation. Just one word.
Just one. But what I was going to say is two.
Okay. You can have two, but only two.
Ben Dunn, because they did it in season one.
Oh, you're right. That was
it was
LaShawn. No, not LaShawn.
Akasha.
Akasha.
And who did?
That's when Akasha was like crying and like blah blah blah. No, that was We Break the Dawn. But
that was We Break the Dawn.
She did do. Yeah,
I'm gonna look this up. Keep going. I'm gonna look it up though. Okay,
Chris. Two words.
Even. And I mean, I don't personally, it wasn't one of my favorite lip syncs in general. So, I mean, I thought it was, you know, my second word is fine.
Okay, so I found it. It actually wasn't Akasha. It was Rebecca Glasscock and Chanel. No, if I had to pick one word, honestly, when I heard it start, I was like, wait a second. they did it better than the first two did, but I think if I had to pick one honest word to describe Shackles, I mean, I love the song, but like in the context of Drag Race, I would agree. I would say fine.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Two words. Give me more.
Okay. now I'm going to break my own rule. I'm going to do three. More melanin, please.
Yes.
Dear God, there was not enough blackness on that stage. It was the wrong dress. Like, it was a freaking gospel song. I need someone to take me to church. Like,
it was a lot of like, ooh, I'm doing gospel. Like,
I'm sorry. Like, how dare they? How dare they give them that song? And how dare Denali be wearing that dress during that song? She couldn't do anything, like, with her body.
No.
I mean, okay, yeah, look, we want to bring blackness.
She should have put her in ice skates.
Yeah, we want to bring blackness to the world, but not like that. Well, friends, thank you so much. This has been just the Kiki that I need to get my life started. I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to have a great weekend because I was hanging out with some amazing people. Chris, Barbara, Bushlight. I mean, you must come back. We need you. We need more of you.
Love
we need
to.
More
of you. Lovely. When, and I'll be here.
Tell me when and where. I'm there.
Ooh, yes. We like to encourage healthy communication between the people that listen to the pod and yourself in a healthy way with no bullying and no BS, blah, 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 blah. So how can people stalk you, show you love, send you some nice photos of themselves in a consensual manner?
So my address is... No. No, a running joke actually with me on my Instagram. It's in my bio. I don't know if I took it down, but I like to call myself the lot lizard of the Iowa 80 truck stop. So you can find me there jumping in and out of trucks. I think it's still in my Instagram bio. I don't remember. But you can find me on Facebook, Instagram. I would say Twitter. Don't look me up on Twitter because I share a lot of dirty on Twitter. Or if that's your kind of thing, go for it. I believe it's all at Barbara Bushlight.
I'm at Seriously Chris on Instagram and YouTube. That's where all my music videos are, and I release at least one a week, sometimes more. I have Twitter, but I don't get it. I'm on it. I have it. It's Seriously Chris, you know.
Don't tweet, don't twat. It comes back to haunt you.
Yeah. Oh, and TikTok. Sorry, I forgot. And TikTok at Barbara Bushlight.
Barbara's from the younger generation, so she ticks and she talks. But no, literally everyone, like, subscribe, follow, comment on our podcast, comment on Chris's videos, comment on all of our social media. If you have questions, we're here for you at whisperinghunties@gmail.com, or you can find us at Hunty Whispering on Twitter and Whispering Hunties everywhere else. Except for TikTok. We don't tick and talk, and we barely twat. So go live your life. But everyone, take care of yourself. Donate to Texas. Go share this with someone you love if you enjoyed the episode. But also be kind to people. It's been rough.
Express kindness. Yeah. Lift up the things you love. Don't tear down the things you hate.
Yeah.
Or else we'll know.
Yeah, there's too much haterade in the situation. Like, I need someone to bring a big bouquet of, like, gay flowers and to spread rainbows and, you know, sprinkles all over the damn place. Till next week, guys. We love you. Bye.
Yes, thank you. Bye. Bye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, Viacom, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We involve Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race, and all names, stickers, and all uses are registered trademarks and or copyrights their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.